Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Norman Bowles, Program Director, FAA Logistics Center in Oklahoma City. And joining us also from PwC is John Kaminsky.
Norman, you've told us some fascinating stories in the last segment about change. What lessons have you learned through the restructuring process at your center and that you think you can share with other agencies?
I think that there's a lot of things to be learned from the Logistics Center and our experience. First and foremost is that change is chaotic. And if anything that would cause people to back off from change is the fact that it is chaotic. So if you're interested in making performance changes, you have to look past the chaos and you have to focus on the results. I believe that results are more important than process, and chaos is process, if you can understand that. The other thing is that performance changes that come out of a change like this are not linear. They tend to be exponential. And so once you start getting those changes made, it's really important to start focusing on what the successes are rather than wait to the big bang at the end. For the Logistics Center, I think that's what made it so that our employees were able to continue through this process, is because we spent a special effort on trying to communicate the successes. In a process like this, it's really important to focus on measures rather than perceptions. And the reason being is that the chaos of change, and it's a positive term, not a negative term, can be a little bit misleading. And let me give you an example. We were about into the second year of our change. We've been taking 10 to 20% of our workforce off the job to be making these changes. And all of a sudden, I start getting some managers coming to me saying, you know, we got to stop this. Our production is going down and our productivity is going down. And this was a little odd because at the same time, I was hearing from our customers they didn't know what was going down there at the Logistics Center, but boy, whatever it was, don't stop it, because they really liked it. So we created another employee team. Of course, that's our solution, to take a look at it. And they started taking a look at why were our numbers going down. Well, what they found out was that we were measuring the wrong thing. We were measuring outputs rather than outcomes. And so if you deal on the perception side, it's very easy to get discouraged about the change. But if you're starting to watch the results, that becomes really important. And then finally, I think that the thing I would say is that we learned is you don't try to change the people. My management team is pretty much the same as the one that I started with, and my employees are all the same. All of these achievements have been done with that same group of people. It's not that the people don't want to do a great job. It's that the systems that they're working in are the barrier. So if you start looking for systems changes, things like ISO 9000 that gives somebody a better basis on which to do their quality, if you give away your dollars and allows people in the field to make a better decision, you can get some really startling and amazing outcomes.
Well, you've just described the change in the system at FAA Logistics Center, and then also the change in behavior. What kinds of these changes do you think are replicable elsewhere in the government?
I believe that everything that we have done is replicable. In fact, we believed in that so much that, and we took a sheet of music from NPR, and we started doing publications. And so we have two publications that we share with other government organizations. One is a book called Paradigm Shift, Changing Government Using Private Sector Approaches, and it chronicles how we made our changes. We have another one that's a little bit more lighthearted, but equally serious, and it's a book that was called A Taste of Reinvention. We first published it back in 2000. It's A Taste of Reinvention, Sizzling Change Recipes from the Heartland. And we've got wonderful recipes in it, like chaos and risk-taking in the kitchen, communication omelet, strategic plan for a reinvention restaurant. It's written by managers and by employees, and it actually describes the strategies that we are using. So there have been a number of organizations that have used this for training their workforce. But it is replicable. I believe that you're seeing the trend towards the same thing taking place throughout government. The franchise funds were the start of that. And by the way, actually, when we say a revolving fund, we used a franchise fund for this purpose. But President Bush has a proposal, or will be making a proposal, that would take all the funding for administrative programs and put them in the program operations, and those program operations will pay for the services that they get. And it's just yet another sign that the government is moving more and more into the business mode.
Throughout our conversation, you've talked about dollars and measuring and having outcomes and even having a bottom line. Why is it so important in a public sector, in a public setting, to have a bottom line?
I think because in the private sector, we use the bottom line to determine what companies will stay and what executives in those companies will stay. Nothing like a bottom line to get somebody focused on using measures and on genuine performance. On the other hand, take the 10 worst federal agencies. And take your pick, whoever you believe those are, where there is no bottom line, and those agencies are still here today, and so are all the executives. And how do you measure? How do you really determine that you're not getting your money's worth? I think that there's some people in the federal government who say that the government is not a business. I believe we are a business. In fact, your radio show is called The Business of Government. We do a lot of things in the federal government that seem to be, or we believe, are unique. We give out grants. We do research and development. We do major insurance programs. But just virtually anything that we do in the federal government, you're going to find a private sector counterpart. It may be a not-for-profit, but the Ford Foundation, and I believe the endowment probably gives out grants. And all of those organizations have a bottom line. And it's the means by which they decide whether they're going to stay in business or not. So I believe that it really makes a tremendous amount of difference in terms of accountability and how much the taxpayer gets for its money. The one thing I would say with the logistics center is our performance is 30% higher or more, and it's all because we created a bottom line. Because now we really have a lot of real-life incentives to make sure that we're not only delivering a really great service, but there's a value for our service.
Let me ask you about the people who were involved in the change. What qualities do the leaders need to implement these changes?
Oh, I think for a change leader, it's a number of different things. You certainly have to have a vision. You have to see beyond what the current reality is to what the potential is beyond. Perseverance is a really important trait. There's a lot of factors that will try to get that would encourage people to slow down or stop a change. And for those who do, that's where the term flavor of the month comes from. I think a focus on results is probably a very important factor. People who tend to get caught up in process really would get lost in the change, because you get caught lost in the fact that you're proposing to make changes and you're planning to make changes, but unless you're really focusing on anything happening on the results of your effort, you're likely to not see the results that you're looking for. And I think the ability to communicate becomes really important. Imagine one change affects a lot of things for a lot of people. Two changes now makes it so you got twice as much. But one of the first change starts to affect the second change. When you do what we did within the logistics center, there's a lot of potential for confusion, because everybody else's changes are having an effect on the last change that they just made. And so there needs to be leadership that's continually communicating the vision, so that people, everybody's going to figure out what they have to do to make a change possible, but they need to see that vision. They need to know how they are doing in the context of what the goals are. Are we succeeding? Are we not succeeding? And then they just need a lot of encouragement. So communication becomes a really important trait.
I was surprised a few minutes ago when you said that the personnel on your team hadn't really changed throughout this process. Was that as you expected, or did you imagine you would have to change people as you undertook this restructuring?
You know, it really never became a question. When we started out, everybody on the management team wanted to get someplace. Their comment was, as we've tried in the past, we've never gotten there. All we need is that leadership to make the changes. And I think the only thing that I did was support their ideas and then not quit when the going got tough. And so I think that's where the perseverance comes in. It's a wonderful workforce. It was a wonderful organization. There are a lot of people who see a bright future in the logistics center, and they were willing to do whatever it took to make that happen.
What advice would you give to a young person interested in a career in public service?
Oh, I think that government service is a very high calling. And my recommendation is, if you really do care about this country, if you really do want to make a difference, this is a great place to be. And then the other thing I would say is, don't buy the notion when you go into the federal government when people tell you you can't do something, because somewhere else, somewhere, someone is doing what they're being told you can't do.
Well, that's a good ending point, Norm, because I'm afraid we're out of time. John and I want to thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you, John.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Norman Bowles, Program Director, FAA Logistics Center in Oklahoma City. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research, and you get a transcript of today's conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.